Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
So Fraser's like, well, Chef got fired because he didn't do his job, and enough of this blame game. It was all social media. And then we see tweets coming up that are like, oh yeah, I love Fraser, but he's doing too much here. The guest didn't complain. The food was good. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And another
my
one
favorite
saying,
was the
Fraser
one that said,
100%. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, my favorite one was the one that said, if you've got time to lean, you got time to clean, signed Ronnie Karam. I was like, wow, congratulations, Ronnie. You got right in there.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of tweets that pop up of people being like, oh my God, I can't believe you fired Anthony. Fraser's such a dick. So he's like, I mean, it just bothered me. Why get the finger pointed at me for everything that goes wrong? I did not want him to go. Okay. Well, you're lying now. That's a lie. We did watch the season, sir. And he's like, and I wanted him to have a second chance or a firm talking to, you know. I mean, next thing I know, he's packing. Kerry didn't tell me he did that. Okay, Fraser, okay. You played a part in it. But whether or not Anthony deserved that, I would rather Fraser was just stuck with he didn't do a good job and he was fired. And it's not my job to go save him. I tried to help him. He wouldn't listen and he got fired. Sorry.
At the end of the day, you get no emotion for no emotion, and he's not taking responsibility for not doing his job and for being fired. But, like, if you can't see your faults, there's a really big red flag. So a lot
spoken
of
spoken like someone who's just spent a whole monologue avoiding their own red flags and faults. Mm-hmm. But, okay.
So now they finish up at anchor, and they're going back to the yacht, and Barbara's asking Jess how she feels about Solane. And Jess is like, it's fine, but I'm going to keep to myself a little bit more because, you know, I don't want to get hurt. No. So basically, Jess is really upset that Solane, despite their earlier conversation, Jess is clearly still upset that Solane was kissing Kyle. Even though, if I do remember the scoreboard, Solane was kissing Kyle first. So if we're going to play that game, let's play the full game, shall we, Nat? So Barbara is like, she's like, I really like Jess, but I'm starting to see her as someone that I care about. And I think that there's something there. So, but Soso is my friend. So no triangle. No. It's like, all of you guys need to just, you guys all need to shut up. Do your job. I just don't care about your love rhombus that you've developed.
So now they're gossiping about Fraser's date, and he's like, well, he's a great guy, obviously, and I get along with him, but he's straight. He's a straight boy. And Barbara's like, yes, and straight people say they love you, and then they shit in your face.
They just poop all over you.
It's so nice to see gay fellowship on this show, because usually there's only one, so if there's any. So it's nice to see gay people be able to talk and be like, ah, fucking straight people. They use us all the fucking time for their bullshit, and then they just dump us. Like, I didn't know it was that common.
I think it is. I think it's very common, or people experimenting, or like, whatever. That's, you know. Look, I mean, JoJo Siwa's with a guy again. Look at her.
Oh, God, during Gay Pride Month.
I mean, look, she may be bisexual.
Coming out as straight during Pride Month is a choice. Wow.
Yeah. But there is.
But good luck to her and her possible baby. Is she pregnant? My niece told me she thought she was pregnant.
She's pregnant full of sound because she does not speak quietly.
The ultrasound shows an extremely tight ponytail that transcends all sexual preference.
Oh, God, if JoJo Siwa shows up as a stew on this show at some point, because I feel like that could reasonably happen, I'm not going to be I feel like it would not be out of the realm of possibilities that Bravo throws some sort of bullshit at us, like celebrity below deck, where all those dudes are like low level celebrities, like JoJo.
It's like Siegel. Natalie from Facts of Life.
It could happen. Now, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to it now that I actually say it. It doesn't sound like as bad of an idea as you would think, except for the fact that they all may die. But other than that, sounds great. Yeah.
Otherwise, fun. Well, they can have Chip and his cousin Chip or whatever the guys are that we never see, the officers we never see. They can take care of
Larry, Gary,
I mean,
and
please,
Larry.
Are we supposed to really believe that Solane is taking care of this boat? I don't. No. I don't believe this. So,
Solane, have JoJo Siwa.
Everyone's gone out and gone home, and Solane and Jess are in the boat mess hall or whatever talking. And she's like, oh, I think I have salami in my leg. Oh, you know why I like you? I like you because it is so easy to speak to you like a friend. And that's why you are my best friend. You don't treat me like a children. And Jess is like, well, I like you because I think you're hot and you have tits and an ass. And also you're bossy.
You say that tits, ass and tits? It's like, well, I think I just described Barbara. Now that I think about it, oh, I think that is wrong woman. So they go to bed. Next day, waking up, time to pack for the villa. So Rainbow is asking Jess about like the threesome. She's like, how do you find, what are you thinking about this threesome, this Tilly and Selene threesome you find yourself in? Look at me relating to you. Isn't this fun? And Jess is like, well, honestly, she can do what she wants. I know what she likes, that she likes me, and that's enough. I'm totally not insecure about it whatsoever. I'm not going to engage in any sort of bullshit to make her jealous. Absolutely not.
Yeah, and then we see Captain... While everybody's at the villa, arriving at the villa, we see Captain on one of those like wave lifter thing. What are those things where you fly in the water? He's like, amazing, nailed it. God.
Mini fucking adventure.
15-year-old probably couldn't do this, little loser.
Adventure boards, that's what I call them. So there's just more talk. And Fraser and Anthony are talking about a vape. And Anthony makes a comment like, you don't love me anymore, and I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about you. And Fraser's like, that's your problem, sweetheart. It's like, I know you don't give a shit about me. It's like, and he goes like, what's going on? And Fraser's like, all right, I don't know, but we have 11 minutes to get ready for carnival. Because Anthony's also like, he's in his emotions and he's also drunk. So he's like that annoying emotional drunk for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, and Fraser knows what's coming, so he's already being super bitchy. Like, that's your problem. Whatever. So now it's time for carnival, and everybody's getting jock straps picked out.
Yeah.
Can I just say carnival sounds horrifying? If anybody was like, hey, Ronnie, you want to go somewhere today? Pick out a jock strap.
Yeah. A lot of carnival on Bravo lately. We just got through Atlanta going to carnival in Grenada. Now we're in St. Martin carnival. You know, my brother, I think, is going to St. Martin this week or something like that, which is what an exciting real life tie into the show, isn't it, everyone? Okay. So.
Has he seen Flo?
From Progressive?
I hope he watches Flo on the plane to St. Martin. He's like, man, I just saw an amazing movie with real cat sounds.
Did you stay for the post-credit scene? Because I missed it.
Okay, so they go party, and Kyle is, you know, Rainbow's licking Damo's nipple, trying to, like, be one of the crew, you know? And... she makes out with Kyle and dances on Jess, and she's having fun, which is nice to see. She's like, this is amazing. I'm having the best time.
I'm so happy.
So, she's trying so hard. It's like through the face of a nervous breakdown, but she's like, this is so fun.
I am absolutely not triggered by spending an extended amount of time on an island. It's not bringing me back to any sort of childhood trauma. Kyle is just sort of looking around. He's like, oh, I'm looking at some beautiful women walk. I ain't fucking bothering to look what's going on behind me, because, you know, Selena's like making out with who knows who. I think Damo. She's making out with Damo now. Selena and Damo are making out now. Kyle. It's so funny because everyone's being slutty except for Kyle, and Kyle's the biggest slut on this group, in this group. But
he's in love. So, he's in love. And that's why he can't do it. He's a one woman man. Yeah, everybody's making out, which I think is what makes it less dramatic, you know? Like, if everybody's just making out, who cares? So,
yeah.
Like, you can't hurt your feelings, like, if everybody's doing it, you know?
If everybody's doing it.
So then we get Selene. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
if everyone's doing it, get with it.
Yeah, everybody's doing it. So Celine is talking about her relationship with Dylan because Dylan changed me because I broke him. I broke him.
I saw, I did see it. I didn't listen to it, but I saw that someone got Dylan on a podcast or something and was asking him questions about this. And Dylan just shows up in the interview shirtless. I mean, that guy's just such a douche. Who does that?
He broke Dylan, but Dylan broke us, because I swear to God, I was ready to hang it up after watching him on TV. I was like, this guy, I can't anymore.
He's the worst.
He is terrible. And he shows up shirtless to a podcast.
Oh, like, my God. Who does that? Just gross.
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking about all the cold cuts he's washed off in the time since he's been on TV.
Sulfites, bro. So then Damo comes over to Kyle and he's like, oh, before anyone else tells you, I just kissed So-So. And he's like, I clocked that. Don't worry. I clocked it. I'm not an idiot, lad. I clocked it. And are you upset? No. If I was upset, I'd turned around and done something about it. But he also doesn't trust his ass anymore. He tells us. He's like, I saw that. Didn't love that. I'm not going to trust that guy anymore. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, at least finally a normal reaction on this show from somebody.
So then Damo goes up to Jess and he's like, well, Susu and I just kissed. And Jess is like, oh, well, Barbara and I are going to kiss. She's like, I've decided. That's fine, because Barbara and I are totally going to kiss. We like each other now. Barbara's like, no, excuse me. No. She's like, yeah. I was just batted or whatever.
I was batted,
like,
away.
No, we're not going to kiss.
Yeah, she's like, oh yeah. She goes, oh my God, I was just batted. And Barbara's like, no, she's with my best friend. So don't be mad at me. And so Barbara's like, oh God, Jess is mad at me now. Why? Why are you mad at her, Jess? She's like, I tried to kiss her and she wouldn't kiss me back. So hurtful.
Barbara's like, well, I mean, if she wasn't my best friend, I would kiss you, but she's my best friend, so I cannot. I'm like, I guarantee you that Celine, if it were turned around, Celine would not give a shit. So go make out with Jess. Go have fun. So then, Jess and Barbara do start to kiss, and then Fraser's like, there's so much going on. It's sensory overload. And since I know the audience is absolutely obsessed with everything that's happening, let me break it down for you.
No.
First, I kissed Damo in the hot tub. Then Celine kissed Kyle, and they were a thing for a moment. And then Jess kissed Celine. And then Celine and Kyle have been secretly kissing. And then Rainbow had a panic attack, and she was crying. And she kissed her vacuum cleaner. Classic love triangle. And then Damo kissed Celine. And now Jess kissed Barbara. Things are getting really messy. I'm like, if you have to sell us this in the middle of the most slutty moment of the season, it's not working. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just gonna tell you that.
Yeah. So then we go to Jess and she's like, oh, I'm still feeling weird about Damo and So-So kissing. Maybe I am jealous. Oh no. But I think, you know, I don't like to talk about my feelings. Guess who I get it from? Cue the Instagrams. It's from my father. He doesn't show his emotion. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Is any parent going to win in this one? Not a one. You all suck, parents. I hope you're sitting there in your car right now realizing that even if you don't suck now, one day in someone's story, you are the villain. Okay?
Yeah. My parents are very Afrikaans. They don't feel it. They don't feel emotions. So then Rainbow goes up to Anthony and she's like, Chef, what's going on with you and a phrase? I definitely didn't just sell you out. And she's like, well, I don't know if he's really honest with me. You know, my weakness is I trust people so much. My other weakness, I am not a very good chef. And that was the story of my life, trusting people and not understanding how to cook hot dogs. And also being very upset cooking hot dogs alone. I do not like to cook hot dogs alone. And sometimes I just let people, you know, fuck you, mister, you know, like I let people do that.
Three main problems in my life. One, thrusting people. Two, tiny pants. Three, very large hats. Don't know.
I do not trust people, which is why I keep my enemies close. I keep my friends close. My enemies closer. And my eyebrows are very, very close. That's why they're so thin.
Macroblade. So he's talking about how when he left St. David after getting fired, I was not healthy inside and probably outside, cry every day, stay gone in the press. And Bobby is in my head, she told me. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I just want to cry.
Oh, I just want to cry.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Meanwhile, goes up to Barbara and is like, "So I was just telling Silly, I'm sorry that I kissed his ex-girlfriend." And she's like, "What?" She's like, "Well, we were never going to let a girl come between us." And Kyle goes, "Never." It's like, "Unless we let a girl come between us."
So Barbara doesn't even want to talk about her kiss because it was too fast. It was too fast. And I can't even like her because she is my friend. Selena's my friend. So I'm not going to like Jess. So Damo is like, well, she shouldn't be concerned about Solane's feelings. I mean, she's thinking Solane's not thinking about anyone else's. So go for it, basically. So Anthony is now cooking and he had this big plan of like, we're all going to make this family dinner. We all make something. We do it together. And now he's the only one in the kitchen cooking. So now he's wasted and he's spiraling out over his own issues. So now he just starts screaming. He's like, where is everybody? What is this, like restaurant or what? What is this, like restaurant? Am I going to get fired from here too? Will I spend day in bed crying? Will I make cry in bed?
Oh, I just have to make hot dog all by myself. Okay, that's fine. You know, sometimes a chef is very hard because you don't really feel like you're part of the crew. And I have this feeling from last season like I was alone and nobody helped me. And it's a lot of emotion from last season between me and Fraser. And so I have all this anger that I should talk about. And the fact that I keep it inside me grow and grow and grow. At one point, it is going to explode like hot dog left in microwave. But this time, hot dog is on grill.
So Hugo has heard all this. So he goes to Fraser and he's like, "Oh, Fraser, chef just went throwing his toys out of the pram. I mean, I came up to him and he said no one was offering to help him. I mean, just so you know, he seems a bit off. I gave him a pamphlet, but
I do feel a little bad. I do feel a little bit bad for Anthony because it's like, okay, we're all going to like make dinner together. And then they just like all go out and hang out and look at the sunset while he's like alone in the corner, just turning hot dogs. He's like, hello. He should never have volunteered to cook for everyone. That's his mistake. He should be like,
yeah,
I'm
or
off.
Be like, guys, who's making what tonight? Something like that. Mm-hmm. But just, yeah, no one's going to follow you.
I've definitely been in that position though. I was actually very recently in that position where it's like, I was like, okay, I'm going to grill these up for everyone. And then I grilled and everyone just like stayed inside and you're just like alone at the party, just grilling. And you're like, okay, yeah. No one wants to be out here with me, but you're like, but I did volunteer for this. I mean, what, like I created my own disaster here, but like at the same time, you're like, doesn't anyone want to spend time with me? I made this hamburger.
Alone with my hot dog. Just like always. So Damo tries to talk Anthony down from the ledge and he's like, do you know the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? And he's like,
no, why would you throw a baby? Don't throw a baby. Do not throw a baby. You don't do this to a baby. Why are you throwing baby?
I don't know about the bathwater. So Fraser is like, well, he's upset. He's like, something is triggered, you know, like what's going on? And Rainbow's like, well, he has been talking about last season to me for the last 2 days straight. He will not shut up, especially when I go up to him and say, can you tell me more about what happened last season? He will not stop talking about it. So Fraser's like, well, guess what? I'm not living in last season because I cannot do that, even though I'm always saying how last season I won't repeat those mistakes. And if he talks to me about it one more time, I will have a problem. So
he goes in to check on Anthony and he's like, oh, he's just exploded because Hugo is making food. No one really cares about food. No one cares about it. I throw my hat. And Fraser's like, okay, but is there more going on? And he's like, yes, I forgive, but I don't forget baby being thrown. Baby thrown in bath. Why? Why you do this?
What do you not forget? Is it cleaning up? Because you definitely do forget about doing that often, as you've seen your galley. And it's like, well, people told me all day that if you're fired, it's because of Fraser. And Fraser's like, I will not do this. That's not my problem. I didn't get you fucking fired. I merely recommended it.
He's like, look at Bobby. Bobby's saying. He's like, I don't care what she's saying. I didn't get you fired. It wasn't working and you laughed.
So Fraser's not having it. And he's like, forget it. And he's like, you forget that or you forget this. You forget this, buddy.
Take look a good
this up
look.
And down and tell me if you're ready to let go of this.
He's like, I know. He's like,
you're fucking here because I brought you back to ridicule you all over again. I know. Because I wanted you back. I did not get you fucking fired. I merely said this is a terrible chef and everyone's complaining about him. And in case we didn't know this captain, we probably shouldn't have him on board. But I was not the one who said you're fired. Please don't forget that. It's like, I know, I know. But Bobby, it's like what she said. Like, she always told me you're fired because of Fraser. And like I said, no, he's like my best friend.
Bobby, one more time, you're getting 5-year-old Fraser. Zero conversation. Do you understand me? Do you understand?
Yes, but only for 1 year. And then you talk again after 1 year. Fine. 2-year-old Fraser. 4 years of silence.
So people are kind of laughing because they're fighting inside. And Fraser's like, Bobby said that I was the sole purpose behind him getting fired. No, she didn't say you were the sole purpose. See, you're twisting things to make yourself correct. Because if you say Barbie said you were the sole purpose, then you can say that was a lie. No, she didn't say that. She said you're a reason that he got fired. And you were.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, Fraser's like, look, I love you. Stop. Stop. You're so insecure. I got you. And then they hug and everything is fine. And Fraser is like, yeah, it's like this is all a lie. OK, so they come back to dinner and everything is fine. Everything is settled. They hyped up this confrontation for 5 or 6 episodes, like, here it comes, the big explosion. As basically Anthony be like, no, but I don't know because Bobby says that you got me fired, but I don't even know anymore because of bathwater that I threw out apparently. Fraser's just like, no, I never said that. I got you. Okay. I was like, oh, so it's solved.
The end. So now we go to dinner and they're like, let's play Rose and Thorn. This is Bravo. Let's do, you know, what's your best part and your worst part of the season? So Celine goes first and she's like,
well, the worst was when I finished work and she asked me to wash all the fucking toilets at 1 o'clock in the morning. And she told me, Celine, you finish, you go to bed. And I thought, thank you, goodbye.
And Rainbow goes, I never said that though. So, I mean, I said check and then go to bed. I never said go to bed. Why are you lying? Why are you lying?
I speak, yeah, and then, okay, I speak, yeah, I speak, thank you. Okay, I speak, thank you. Voila. Okay, so she said, maybe before you go to sleep, you're going to go to the heads and do the toilet. And was it like, wipe everyone on the toilet? And I was like, oh, but you told me I can finish. Okay, I speak. Okay, thank you. Voila.
Don't lie. Don't lie about it.
You call me a liar? You call me a liar?
You're lying.
You call me a liar? I'm liar. Right, Rainbow, be careful. Be careful, Rainbow. No, I'm not a liar. I'm a liar. I'm not a liar. No, not a liar. Pardon, liar.
I don't find it very funny. And she's like, well, I don't care. Me, I think it's funny. And I'm not perfect, but liar never. Never liar.
And he goes like, oh, maybe it's just a miscommunication. You know, you can only move ahead by looking behind. That's not true. Who told you that? That's the dumbest fucking saying I've ever heard. You don't have to look behind you to move forward. You just move forward, sir.
Not everything is driving through that fucking small bridge in St. Martin, okay? Sometimes we can just look ahead.
And so Rainbow, don't be an Uber driver or something where you're in charge of transportation.
So Rainbow's face,
ahead, sir.
Rainbow is like, her face is all contorted because she's about to cry. She's about to burst into tears. She's like, oh, I'm going to go. So she gets up and they're like, Rainbow. She's like, no, I just have to go to the bathroom, guys. Like, I'm totally fine. I just have to go to the bathroom. I just have to go to the bathroom. Don't mind me. So she goes off and then she's like, I don't need turmoil. I try to avoid it, but like, I feel like the other girls like take some kind of like weird pleasure out of making me other girls feel this way. If I didn't like have deep childhood emotional trauma, like I probably wouldn't even care. But I feel like I just grew up in a household where feelings were like not like a thing. It was almost like just as Afrikaans household, but it was like Dutch, which is sort of the same. I mean, I can't wake up in the morning. Even today, I call my mom and I tell her like, hey, I'm having a really bad day. I have so much anxiety. I'm like, I can't breathe. I'm like really upset. And then my mom will look at me and be like, what am I supposed to do about it? And then she gives me a stroopwafel. It's so awkward.
So yeah, like the hurt comes from my mom. I was like, wow, you're the fifth person to blame your mother today. Also, your mom's probably sick of you calling every day crying about some bullshit that somebody doesn't like you at work because you're being an asshole to them. I'm sorry, but like at some point, you know, it's you. Okay. I already feel for your mother. I guess that's what happens when you just stay old and recap things. You start being on the other person's side. Cause I think like 10 years ago, I would have been on the completely different side. And now I'm like, team your mom, shut the fuck up. I can't even believe your mom hasn't blocked your number yet. Cause you know, this girl calls every fucking day with something that she's upset about and triggered about.
I know. We are the same podcast that is, like brazenly pro Anwar on Next Gen New York City. We're like, yeah.
Give Anwar a spinoff. Yes. Parent of the year. You stupid child.
So Rambo comes back. She's like, I'm totally fine, guys. I just had to take like a diarrhea or something. It's like, okay, well, glad you're back. I was close to coming over there. She's like, no, I just had to pee. It's like totally fine. Like I pee. I mean, sometimes I pee through my eyes. It looks like tears, but it's really pee. Why are you guys so disturbed?
It's because of trauma. Like, well, it's like I pee. It's I pee. It's because of childhood trauma. It's my mom's fault.
Hugo's like, well, I think that's the most difficult part of the job because you're away from your family. I'm like, have you listened to what everyone's been saying? I think that's why they're in the industry, is to get away from their family.
Yeah, good point. Everybody's here to escape their fucking parents. And he's like, you know, and you deal with people that are different, man, they have different perspectives and you have to make sense of how to live with them, how to deal with them. And, you know, that's when we get why we get paid what we do, because we got to figure out how to live together and make sense of it all. Shut up. Who brought this fucking guy?
So now they clean up and Barbara and Jess text about their kiss and like whatever they text. And then Rambo is like, pulls Celine for a chat. Mind if I pull you for a chat? You're really my type on paper. So Rambo's like, I'm just like sad that you feel like what you said happened. Cause I literally asked you that evening. I was like, hey, just check the day heads, then go to bed. That's all I said. By the way, what we did not discuss is that the flashbacks show that she said, guess what? You're done. You are free. You can go to bed. It's all over. No more work for you. And then it's like 5 minutes later, you know what? I forgot. Can you actually wash all the bathrooms? Thanks.
Yes, like, sweet Celine vindication. That's kind of the most shocking thing to me about this season is that Celine is not as terrible as you would think. Like, I thought she was just going to be a fucking nightmare, and she's actually at least trying. You know, I mean, I can see the complaints about her and stuff. I don't think that they're wrong, but she keeps getting vindicated. It's kind of funny.
Well, she's like, yeah, she's like lazy, but she's right about certain things. And like, really what Rainbow should have said was, you're right, that was shitty of me. I just had totally forgotten. I felt so bad that I told you to go to sleep and then I made you clean those bathrooms. But like, yeah, sorry about that, but they had to be done. Just
and this is how Rambo talks to people. She's like, can we have a chat? I'm so sorry that you actually think that that's what happened. Crazy.
I'm so sorry that the neurons in your brain have led you to think that this was your reality when it wasn't.
Terrible. Yeah, you crazy. And Celine's like,
oh, you'll change story. I don't want to make big story about that. Okay, no big story about it.
She's like, but I'm really trying to be super forgiving with you. Like, I'll give you 10 minutes here, extra sleep at night, and you know, you're yawning. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'd never ask you for the extra sleep. Like, Rainbow needs permission to be 10 minutes late to work. Rainbow's going to be 10 minutes late to work, whether or not you tell her she can or not. She's going to be drinking wine in the fucking butler pantry all she can. And she's like, but I let you do that, you know? And, you know, I try and I'm trying to be as nice as possible. And here you are yawning at me, you know? And I feel like it's not appreciated. It's not appreciated.
And Celine's like, oh, you know, your attitude. You're like, oh, I give you 10. I'm so nice to you. I give you time off. Like, oh, so be grateful about it. Which is funny. It's like, you actually should be because that's your superior. But she's like, see, you're speaking to me like that. Look, you think I don't care about job working? However, Celine does, I think, have some emotional maturity here in the sense that she picks up on the fact that, like, actually, Rainbow is not doing this to be, like, considerate, like, oh, the person, the third steward, the fourth steward is working really hard. I should give her a little bit more time off to rest. Rainbow's doing it to be like, I'm doing this that way you will like me. Do you like me now? I did all the things that you should like me. And so Solana's picking up on that. She's like, you didn't do it because I needed it. You did it so purely so that way you can act like you're not the bad guy.
And you can say, I gave you an extra 10 minutes and I did this. You should be grateful. Because it's not that what Rainbow is saying is wrong, really. I mean, Celine needs a lot of direction, but it's just how she says it, you know? It's just
her tone is just wrong. She just
Celine's like, oh, this attitude, you know, like I see you speaking to me like that. You know, you think I don't care about working. I don't care about my work. I don't like my job. It's what you think. And I don't really care, period, at the end. I did it. You know, even if I'm not very happy, I always did it. I always did my job. And
well,
she's like,
oh. That's where Celine is wrong. That's where Celine is like, Celine does not do her job very well necessarily. Last week there was a whole thing where she was like, well, I don't have to like make this look that nice because the guests won't even care. And Rainbow's like, you should, as like a pride in like your job. And Sinead's like, ugh, whatever. And now she's acting like, oh, like you're saying that I don't even care about my job. I'm like, you literally last week were like, how can
that's true. But wasn't there also a scene this season where she was like, and this was with Barbara, so it's not any gotcha for Rainbow, but where she was arguing with Barbara and she's like, but am I supposed to iron this sheet? And she's like, do you think it needs to be ironed? It doesn't look like it needs to be ironed. She's like, but you tell me to iron, so I need to iron it. She's like, no, you do whatever you think. If you think it needs to be ironed, you think it needs to be ironed. And she's like, okay, but you tell me 1 minute I have to iron it, and the next minute I don't have to iron it. So you tell me. And she's like, there was that whole argument where Barbara's like, use your fucking face, use your eyes.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't look like it needs it. So I think in that scene last week, I took it as Rainbow taking that and being like, oh, I don't think we need to do this one. And her being like, yes, we do. We do it every time. And her being like, well, what the fuck? You ladies are telling me something different every time. But I don't know why
that's fair
for Rainbow, because I would probably have a nervous breakdown having to work with
Celine. Yeah.
Celine. Yeah.
I mean, that could be true. That could be true. But I think just based on the surface of what that interaction was, it's like, Celine would seem like she's trying to cut corners. I mean, Celine does seem like she's a bit lazy. But where Barbara was so cool with Celine.
Why do I stick up for Celine? I just like her. She makes me laugh.
Because you don't. No, it's okay because you don't like Rainbow. So, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. Yeah. But I think that Barbara knows exactly how to handle Celine, which is like, I'm not going to try to be your friend. If you're going to, like, you can try to start whatever you want with me, and I'm going to tell you just do your job. And just do your job. I don't care. If it needs to be ironed, then iron it. Like, don't bother me with it. I've got stuff to do. Whereas Rainbow's like, well, I don't know. I mean, you should just, iron it. Remember how I told you you should iron it? That's how you should iron it. She's just sort of like condescending. Whereas Barbara's like, I'm not going to deal with your bullshit. Do your
Barbara's
job.
Barbara's not concerned about looking like a victim. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the motivations are different. I think Rainbow is just, everything that comes out of Rainbow's mouth is about being a victim in some way. All of her backstory is about how she's victimized. All of her time off is like about how she's so exhausted. She's the only one that works. Everything that comes out of her mouth is that she's a victim of some situation, where Barbara's just like, fuck it, do your fucking job, you stupid idiot. And then I think Celine respects that because she's working with someone who's not, I don't know.
It's actually really annoying because I was really looking forward to Barbara and Celine having bickering the whole season. And then they stopped because Celine respected Barbara earned respect. And now they love each other.
It's nice. It's been a while, I think, since we've had like a gang up on the Chief Stew. Mm. Those are always fun. Yeah. It's nice to see. It's a nice trope coming back.
So it's the next morning. People wake up.
And, oh, no, we haven't finished the scene. So basically, Rainbow just stops fighting. She goes, okay, yeah, okay, whatever. And she gets up and she walks off and she's like, oh, yeah, you lazy wannabe famous only to be here on TV, dumb bitch. Can't even do the fucking job.
I wish she had said that to Celine's face.
Yeah, me too.
That would have been great. That's what you should say. And like, what does Celine say to that? She's like, no, voila. Okay, so now it's the next morning, and they're going to be going to a beach club, and so Fraser is telling Barbara that Jess has a crush on you, and Barbara's like, it's not true. She's like, no, she said she wanted to kiss you to me. That, and then like her and Celine thing isn't going anywhere, and if it's going to go somewhere, the only way it's going to go somewhere is if she kisses you to make Celine jealous, so she wants to kiss you. She's like, no, but so-so likes her. She's like, no, well, I'm still in love with Demo, but that's not going anywhere either. Remember America? So here's what happened, okay? So first Demo and I, we went on a date, and then we also kissed, and then also like cut to the next scene.
Yeah. So then we go to Jess and Rainbow talking about Jess's relationship with So-So. And she's like, well, you know, like when I saw her kiss Demo, I thought maybe I like her, but I don't know. You know, maybe I can't even speak with Barbara. Like I can't have a normal conversation. Every time I speak, like she avoids me. And Fraser's like, no, I talk to her. Go work it. Go talk to her. Lesbians forever. Go form a softball team together. Whatever stereotype you need, just go do it. Live free. Live happy. Get a mobile home. I don't care what it is. Just be happy, my little dumpling.
And Jess is like, no, but I like her. If I try to kiss her. And she's like, no, no, no. And he's like, oh, no, but I'd be the same. But if you go up to her and say, hey, I feel like there's something kind of going on. Is there or not? Tell me so I know where to go from here. And then it's done. Don't worry. It'll be fun. It'll be perfect. Nothing bad will ever happen. So Jess goes up to Barbara And she's like, well, I feel like obviously Cersei and I have had a thing going on, but I want to know, do we have a thing going on? Real smooth, Jess. Real smooth. Yeah.
But I like that. I like just some bluntness because it's so rare, I think, in real life and on these shows. And Barbara's just like, listen, I like you, but I'm not going to kiss you just because I have a feeling you're doing this because of Selene. And you're trying to make her jealous, basically. And so she's like, but I'm not, even though I just kind of said that that is what I was doing. She's like, well, but we kiss and then like I'm going to my cabin, then you sleep with So-So. So, I mean, come on. And she's like, okay, well, that's true. But I'm going to move out of my room tonight. And there's nobody else I want to kiss who's within 2 feet of me. So let's kiss.
This is the biggest stream of bullshit. She's like, yeah, there's no one else I want to kiss. I just want to kiss you all of a sudden out of nowhere. And when we kissed, it was different because you were not So-So. So it was technically different. And I know we speak about this, the straight girl stuff and whatever. And for me, I think kissing a girl who's also interested in girls makes it a bit more real. So I think we should kiss. And therefore, in conclusion, let's kiss. Like Parpa's like, ugh, fine.
Yeah.
They make out.
And that's the big
end. And that's the end. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that was the end of the episode.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it.
It just ended.
It
ended just the same way. All right, everybody. Someone got some poussay say. All right, everybody. We sure love you guys. We'll see some of you tonight over at Amazon Live and everybody else later on for some McBee Dynasty. Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sirrah sirrah, whatever will be will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.